Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased you are all here with me today. We have another wonderful show in store for you with a great guest who I'll bring on in just a moment. Of course, first we have our great little blog post from a couple of years ago. So we'll get started with that. So today's blog post is entitled "Vulnerability is a Sacred Practice." People speak about vulnerability, how it is the key to our authenticity. Yet when we are vulnerable, we are truly being strong, and how it is essential for intimacy. Yet the word vulnerability is rarely defined. For what truly is vulnerability? How do we know when we are really being vulnerable with another person? Vulnerability is often defined as being exposed or open to the possibility of harm. Some say it is the willingness to take risk by showing our emotions in spite of our fears. Still others say it is about acknowledging the uncomfortable emotions such as anger, shame, loneliness. And somehow all of these definitions do not quite capture the texture of it. For true vulnerability is something much deeper. It is something that reaches into the very essence of our soul. We understand what real vulnerability is when we see somebody embodying it in front of us. The feeling of it is so pervasive that it strikes a part of us deep inside and opens our hearts. It connects us with another person in a way that nothing else does. Vulnerability is standing in our truth and baring our soul for another to witness, laying open our deepest wounds for others to feel, just as we are feeling them ourselves in that moment. It is a shared moment in time, where we allow others to see us at our most naked. For when we are vulnerable, we are not hiding anything. We are living and breathing in our truth so deeply that anyone witnessing us cannot help but to feel the same emotions that we are revealing to them. Vulnerability may involve our pain, our suffering, or our trauma, or it can simply be an expression of our love for someone that we do not know if it will ever be reflected back to us. Sometimes it can be as simple as sharing a smile with a stranger when we are feeling gratitude for all we have, yet seeing that they have so little. True vulnerability is simply being our true selves in front of someone who may not know how to be true themselves. And the beautiful thing about vulnerability is its ability to bring us together, to unite us in a shared experience, opening our hearts to someone whose heart is already open. Creating a moment in time that is both giving and receiving simultaneously. For when we are being vulnerable, we allow ourselves to be vulnerable as well. And someone else's vulnerability shows us to be vulnerable. For when someone else's vulnerability allows us to be vulnerable too. So vulnerability is not some trick to get someone to feel what you want them to feel. It is a sacred practice that ties our humanity to others. So This blog post I wrote a couple of years ago, I believe it was after trip my wife and I took down to San Miguel, Mexico, where we had a really challenging conversation after sort of doing a little ceremony, just the two of us together in the house we were staying at. And because of the conversation, a lot of fear came up for me. And not only was there fear around the conversation and the implications of what we were talking about, but it made me realize how much of my life had been run by fear. How many choices I made throughout my life that were choices that were made from fear, that they were not truly authentic, not truly what I wanted to do. And it was very scary for me to be that honest with myself as well as with her. And it ended up going well because when she saw my true vulnerability with her, I think it eased her concerns, it eased her fear. But I still remember the feeling of being in that vulnerability. And it was not easy. It was not comfortable. It was one of the most challenging things I had ever done. I mean, on the outside, it really doesn't look like much. But on the inside, I was shaking. I mean, if they had put a Geiger count, a seismograph on me, it would have been off the charts that there was an earthquake going on inside my body. That was vulnerability. But it's interesting how much we hear people talking about being vulnerable, how our strength is in our vulnerability. And all these fancy words, but they never really touch upon the heart of what real vulnerability is, of how difficult real vulnerability is. And the challenge, it's a beautiful word, but it's a word that's used in so many different ways, it can sometimes, not always, just lose its meaning, lose the real value of it. So, that's my blog post. It's entitled Vulnerability is a Sacred Practice. You can always find my blog post on my personally branded website at theconsciousconsultant.com or on the station's website at talkradio.nyc/blog. And of course, if you like it, I have a whole book of my writings called Everyday Awakening that you can get at all your major booksellers. So feel free to reach out and do that. All right. Now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show Suzanne, oh, Suzanne, I forgot to ask you how you pronounce your last name. Biro?
Bureau.
Biro.
Yeah.
Biro, an executive coach with over 2 decades of experience helping CEOs and senior leaders transform not just how they work, but how they live. As the author of This Could Be Everything and creator of the Inner Life Leadership Approach, Suzanne teaches that no amount of external success can compensate for the absence of inner fulfillment, self-respect, and self-awareness. Her work invites us to rethink leadership entirely, and not as a role bestowed from the outside, but as a practice cultivated from within. Suzanne shares how tools like her self-inquiry tool helps to reveal thoughts, emotions, and patterns that quietly shape our behavior and impact others. She explains how real leadership begins with the power of I and the courage to own our experience, our choices, and the way we show up. From this place of accountability and genuine presence, trust becomes not something we demand, but something we embody. Her message is clear. The quality of our inner life determines the quality of our relationships, our work, and ultimately our impact. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Suzanne.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Sam. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. So I'm curious, were you one of those little girls who were like Lucy, had the little stand and said, you know, 5 cents for advice?
That is so funny that you bring that up because, yes, I was, and I identified with her. I grew up watching, you know, Charlie Brown, and I always loved Lucy. In elementary school, a girlfriend of mine and I actually set up a little stand. Simply,
Really?
I always paid attention to how people were feeling. And I, even as a young child, I would, you know, I'd be at a birthday party and I'd always go to the person that I felt alone. And I didn't want them to feel alone. I didn't know why, but I would somehow try to corral and bring them in. And so we set up this little stand in elementary school, and charged like 10 cents. And had people come talk to us. So that's so funny that you raised that.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. You know, not all the time, but every now and then I kind of use that joke with someone who's a coach or a counselor of some kind. And it's like everyone kind of laughs at it and then talks about it. But you're the first person, I have to admit, you're the first person that actually embodied that. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So then how did you get to become an executive coach? Did you study psychology when you were in school or?
I did. I think, you know, coming, we had in elementary school, like a special day where people came to the school with different courses and ideas that you could take. And one of them was called Thinking About Thinking. And I signed up for that one. And it must have been grade 6 or grade 7. And I remember the teacher saying, "Are you aware that you can think a thought?" And I was like, "Okay, yeah. Are you aware that you can think about yourself thinking about that thought?" And I just remember thinking, "Wow, what is this?" And then, you know, fast forward, you know, high school, I struggled, just, you know, as people do in high school, it's hard to find yourself. And with, you know, boyfriend breakups, I would be in a terrible depression. And I came across Tony Robbins' work and just devoured it, thinking, "Oh, I can change how I think," which led me to study psychology at university. And then as I went to university, my mother had a barbershop in a high-end part of West Vancouver. And so I was, she insisted, it wasn't a choice, just like, "You're going to learn the family trade." And I learned so much about what I do for a living now, because West Vancouver was filled with, you know, company presidents, Supreme Court judges were our clientele. It was a barbershop, so it was primarily men and very successful, powerful businessmen. And I was like 17, 18 at the time. And so I learned how to interact with these men as people. I didn't know what they did, but I'm touching them. And so I'm in their space for about half an hour. And so I really learned to fine tune what we call emotional intelligence, you know, and how do I create a great experience for someone in a very short period of time, because I was a really terrible barber. I mean, I'm friends with people that I used to cut their hair. Some of them have been incredible business mentors, and I would cut their ears. I mean, I was just like, I was like, "Why are you coming back to me? I give a terrible haircut." And they would say, "I just like talking to you." And I thought, okay, I can do this thing. Is there something that is just this? And there wasn't coaching at the time. So I thought, okay, counseling, but then I thought, that's not exactly what I want to do. And then I did find this thing called coaching. As I went to the corporate world myself, I hired my own coach. I was an advertising executive coming out of various schooling. And I just thought, oh, this is it. You know, to take very successful people from where they are and help them to become more so. So that's what I've been doing for now 24 years.
24 years. Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. That's wonderful. You know, you're the second successful businesswoman I know who started off in the barber shop. There's another woman, Susie Carter, out of Texas, I believe, who became a very, very successful like coach and online marketing person who started off with barber shops. She had a business, and then she had a couple others. I don't know, and not a dissimilar story. And she talked about how the lessons she learned in the barbershop really helped her to be successful in business afterwards.
Well, when you think of it, it makes so much sense because the barbershop was, I mean, we didn't have podcasts back then. We didn't, you know, if you wanted to listen and learn from people, you had to go to a lecture, you know, attend a university. There wasn't. And so where did people have conversations? It was in the barbershop largely, or in the hair salon. And so that makes so much sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I just want to talk a little bit about sort of the difference between when you started your coaching business to today, and kind of what you see is the same, what's maybe different, and then let's get into your book a bit about This Could Be Everything. I love that title. I want to know where that title comes from. Okay.
You bet.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Susan Biro, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Susan Biro, author of the book This Could Be Everything. Suzanne, when you started 24 years ago, I'm sure there were some sort of commonalities, some similar things that people were coming to you and looking for support with. And I'm just curious how you've seen that evolve over the last 24 years. Are people still coming to you with the same issues, the same challenges? Are there different ones now? Or is it like all over the place and and nothing really is that common? Is it very individualized?
Oh gosh, it's a great question. I think there's so many different things that people come to coaching for. But the essence is the same. And I think, how did you said, how did the title of the book come to be? Is that I think there's one thing that we're looking for, and we're looking to feel better than we do in some ways. And we label it as, I want to be more effective at this, or I'd like to achieve this, or I want to reach that level, or have that money, or have that, recognition, because I believe I will feel better there. I don't feel well here.
Right.
And we can do it continuously out there. But at some point we go, wait a second, like, when do I arrive? When does this, amount of money or this amount of power or, having these people in my life, or when does it bring me the feeling that I hope to have, at least by this stage in my life and my career? And so, hence the book, I Think This Could Be Everything, is we can't do it externally. We can, we certainly try. And I think it's like so beautiful how we try iteration after iteration after iteration. At some point we go, wait a second, it's not going to come by more of that. So what does it come by? I think that's the good news is we can't get it externally. And that's bad news at first, but then ultimately great news. It's like, no, it's inside out. It's, what am I trying to solve for? I always think it's just fascinating. Like, if we want to severely punish another human being, what do? We put them in solitary confinement.
Right.
We leave them alone with their own mind. I mean, what is it inside of us that we just can't seem to endure? That I find fascinating. And when we sit with ourselves long enough, which is some form of meditation, we can start to look at, oh my goodness, I'm doing it without any external inputs. It's being repeated in here, and it's not really great to live in here. So how can we change that and go, wait a second, what am I thinking about most of the time? And most of us are just repeating thoughts that we had very early on. Some of them handed to us by our caregivers, our society. And I think the opportunity is, wait a second, let me just pay attention to, what am I focusing on most of the time? What thoughts do I repeat? And to your beautiful start with the vulnerability post, what fear do I like to rehearse the most? You know, my podcast is called Deep Fear. I thought I should talk about something I know something about. Because I feel like we all live with some kind of fear. And if we turn towards that instead and go, what am I afraid of? And how can I live not from fear? So your own journey, I've loved listening to that. I think it's spectacular. It is the journey we're all on. The details of it change, just like what people come to coaching with change. But the essence is the same. And so I wanted to go, okay, 24 years, I've been listening to thousands of very successful men and women. How can I take that and distill it down into nothing more and nothing less of what would really matter to people? Because I don't think we need more information. I don't know about you, but I'm drowning in it. But we need a way to apply some things that we do know, but just, nothing more, nothing less. Just here's one big idea. Go apply that, live that in your world, and see what comes as a result of that one different idea. Or that one different action.
It sounds a lot of what you're talking about is really self-awareness. It's about not just like going through our day, but being aware, being mindful. You know, people might call it a mindfulness practice, but being mindful of how we're going through our day, how we're showing up. And I'm curious, like, how does being more mindful and being more aware of what we're doing, how does that help us to actually make a shift when we show up, when we're in the presence of another person, when we're under pressure, like these very successful people that you work with? How does that help them deal with the pressures of, the bottom line, that their boss wants to meet certain goals, and people are calling in sick today at work? How does that help them to deal with all of that craziness?
Yeah, well, even everything you've just described brings so much fear up. You know, your boss calls. It's like, oh no, what's going wrong now? I think first things first is to create a distinction that I think is fundamental that we develop, is the ability to be aware of we have thoughts, we are not our thoughts. So, you know, in the book, I give an example I think most of us can relate to. Are we aware that we can have a thought? For example, we're driving, you know, and that jerk just cut me off. Are you aware that you can also think a different thought?
Right.
Whoa, maybe there is a family emergency. Gosh, I hope they get there in time.
You know, I had that exact experience because I remember, and I think it was shortly after going to a Tony Robbins seminar, I was driving somewhere out in Queens, and this, and I wasn't in a rush. I didn't have to be anywhere quickly, but this guy like makes a turn on a red light or something and cuts in front of me. And my first thought was like, oh my God, what an asshole. And then I thought, what am I doing? Like, I don't need to make myself upset. I'm not in a rush. I'm here in the car by myself, listening to music. I'm okay. I'm like, this is good. You know what? Maybe he's in a rush. Like you just said, I thought to myself, maybe, you know, there's an emergency. He's got to get someone to the hospital or whatever it is. And it like stopped myself in the moment. And I was like, ah, oh. So I remember having that exact experience you're talking about.
Yes. And so, well, what I think we want to do is it's like, you know, if we want 6-pack abs, we have to do all of our own sit-ups. Right. These are mental sit-ups to have is absolutely about just simple awareness. What am I focused on most of the time? What thoughts am I repeating? Interesting, just interesting, so that I can be intentional. Like to the extent that I continually go, you know, that jerk, you know, there's an asshole, just cut me off. I will react always to an external world acting upon me. And there'll be just a whole world filled with problems, and I'll be frustrated every day of my life because we're on the planet with, what, 8 billion people trying to get their needs met.
Right.
Or I can have the simple choice, awareness, to go, wait a second, I can choose, and it's going to impact me. It's going to impact me, and then how I show up for the next person that I interact with. So I'm fine. I'm in my car. Maybe they're family emergency. We don't know which one's true. It doesn't really matter in some ways. It matters what are you going to rehearse inside of yourself? Because what we rehearse inside of ourselves then changes everything we do out there. All right. That jerk just cut me off. I get angry. I then go to the next meeting and I'm kind of, you know, a jerk there. And then, you know, I do all kinds of like collateral damage for no good reason, as opposed to I'm fine. They might be in a hurry. Let me just enjoy myself. Allows me to bring presence and something, you know, warmth, something else to that next interaction. So these things, what we rehearse really matters. And we then take it, the danger is we then take it for reality. And we live as if that's the truth. And then regardless of what we achieve or what occurs, we experience the same life experience everywhere we go. But we don't realize that we're actually bringing it with us. So it gives us choice. And it allows us to, in that moment, for example, my boss emails me, my first thought, usually for most people, is not a good one, like, oh, I'm being called to the principal's office.
Yeah.
It's sort of an ego hit of, oh God, what's wrong? And then I just notice that and go, okay, well, hold on, let me see some, you know, let's see what he or she needs. Then I come to that without some sort of fear or panic, but curiosity, what's happening? And maybe it's that something went really well and they want to celebrate it or acknowledge it. Or something did go terribly wrong and we need to handle it. Well, let's then handle it. But we're not going to make up endless stories and repeat stories. Right. Usually stories based on intense fear that somehow we're not okay, we're not sufficient, we messed up, we're not good enough, we need to prove ourselves.
It's a whole bunch of assumptions that come from those feelings, right? So we assume that our boss is calling us because something is wrong, but we don't really know, as opposed to just allowing ourselves to be in the unknown. It could be good, could be bad, could be who knows what. I'm curious, over the years that you've been doing that, this idea of mindfulness, self-awareness, and how we generate so much from the stories we tell ourselves, are the leaders you work with more, less, or the same open to this concept than they were 24 years ago.
Yeah, I'd say more. I think as a society, we've become more aware of this conversation within ourselves, more aware of, you know, all kinds of benefits of mindfulness practice, you know, the value of being aware. When we look at, there's a whole bunch of movies out with the profile, you know, you know, I'm thinking of the Nike story Air, and how much, you know, Phil Knight meditated. And, you know, they're generally almost every client that I work with has some sort of practice, whether that's, you know, they get up early and they have time for meditation, prayer, exercise, journaling, something where they are really intentionally setting themselves up for the day as far as what needs to be handled. And then who do I need and want to be while I handle those things? Because I impact and touch a lot of people. So with that, you know, I need to be intentional of how I use my presence, my energy, the language I use, because it matters. It impacts so many.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take our next break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the writing of the book and also just maybe your own path a little bit toward over these 24 years of working with people and how, what's been challenging for you and what you've learned from all of that. Okay. And I do see loyal listener Patty tuning in on YouTube. Thank you so much, Patty. Appreciate that you're listening as always and sharing the show with your friends. Thank you. All right, everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We'll be right back with our guest, Suzanne Biro, in just a moment.
Misalignment within your sales team or with the client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever wondered what truly lies beneath the calm? I'm Jacinta Yang. Join me every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Talk Radio NYC as we explore healing, self-discovery, and space where science meets spirits to help you find peace in a busy world. Take a deep breath and tune in to Beneath the Calm, where every conversation guides you back to the calm within.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Suzanne, you know, writing a book is not an easy thing. What made you decide, like, to actually sit down and write it? And I'm just curious, as you were writing the book and sort of putting your ideas all down on paper, what were the challenges around that? What was difficult for you in putting this all together?
Well, truer words have never been spoken. You know, I can't remember which poet said it, that, you know, I would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have time. It's very hard. I was trying to write a really short, concise book that gave just a clear roadmap. And so it takes enormous amount of, for me, time and just painstaking effort to boil it down. So I'd love to say that writing it was really enjoyable and just flowed out of me, but that would be like an outright lie. It was, I thought of abandoning it so many times, but I know, I've been doing this work for so long. And so I started about 3 years to just get like I have a roadmap in my head that I take every single client through. And this could serve so many more people. And how do I, you know, I need to now like boil it down and put it down because it's just bothering me. So I wasn't a really, it wasn't like a labor of love in that way. It was like, I got to get this out. Right. So it's just, you know, thank goodness for a whole bunch of editors and, you know, the help of those in the publishing that know how to do this well and help me do it. 3 years of painstakingly trying to boil it down to where I could read it and go, that's exactly what I wanted to say. Nothing more, nothing less, just enough so that someone hopefully can grab it, take it and apply it today. Because I think we would like our lives to feel better today.
Yeah.
And they should feel better. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, if we're not enjoying this existence, what is it all for?
Right.
And I really want people to enjoy their lives. One, just because I care about them. But two, everything good comes from when we are good inside and we enjoy our life. We are great with other human beings. I mean, we can actually, when I feel okay and that I've got enough, I can say, Sam, how are you?
Yeah.
Or Sam, you seem like you're hurting. Do you need something? What do you need? What's going on over there?
Right. We show up as our best when our cup is full.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we have, you know, and so, so that's, that was my, you know, my journey and attempt. I'm so delighted it's done.
So I'm wondering, can you maybe give us a quick client story of someone who you kind of took through your process that maybe particularly stands out in your mind of like the transformation they underwent by going through this process and coming to a better place in their life?
Yeah. Well, I've had this happen with numerous clients where we start off saying, you know, if you and I work together over the course of, you know, 6 months or a year, and this is immensely valuable. Like this is the best investment of, you know, your company's resources and your time. What would need to be different? Like 2 to 3 key things. There's usually 2 tangible things, like metric things that we could measure, certain project success, certain business milestone. And then there's usually one that is a very intangible, like I would just feel more at peace. Or I'd like to feel and enjoy my success more than I do. So there's usually some intangible piece there. And then at the end of the engagement, I will revisit that and say, here's where we started from. And when I repeat it back to them, they usually say, wow, was that really a thing? I'll say, yeah, that was literally the reason you hired me. And they're like, that's so interesting. It's like not even a, you know, I had one client say, there used to be so many jerks in my world. And I think he used a different word. I don't know where they all went. Where did they all go? You know, and I think it's because when we change how we think, it changes how we feel. And then it changes, you know, our entire experience of the world. I mean, we just don't see things the same way. Things that used to bother us don't bother us at all anymore. And we have more joy, fun. We enjoy people's relationships more. Work gets done easier because work still largely gets done through human relationships. Everything we care about is human relationships. So I love that occurs.
Right.
Yeah.
I see loyal listener Patty comments again saying the show always has something she can take away and use that it balances her. So let's give her some she can take away and use. So I'm a listener. I'm listening to this show. I'm saying, yeah, that all sounds great, but, you know, I'm working 2 jobs. Prices are going up right now. You know, the prospects for my kids aren't as good as they were when I was a kid. You know, how am I supposed to face reality and still feel better?
Yeah, well, let's just take the example you just gave. Take out a piece of paper, blank piece of paper, and write down everything you're just thinking. So they will write down everything you just said. And then we might look at that and go, wow, if I think those thoughts, I'm probably going to feel pretty crappy. And they're just thoughts. But they're thoughts that if I choose to think them will create a certain tomorrow. Then you can take out another blank piece of paper. And this isn't about being Pollyanna or overly optimistic. It is about what are other thoughts you that are available that you could choose to think. Not that you believe them at this time, not that you're even going to decide to think them, but you might think of, you might consider like someone who you admire greatly, you know, whether it's someone that you knew personally or you just, you know, admire at a distance and you make up a story. What thoughts might they think? And how might they see this situation? And then you write those down. And then just know that you get to choose. But what you can be certain of is what I am thinking of today will create my tomorrow. So are those really useful thoughts for me and for others, for my family, for the world? Because the human mind can think every conceivable thought and some. Leadership is the act of choosing what thoughts I'm going to give attention to. And I need to choose thoughts that are going to direct my own energy, talents, and attention well, so that then I can do that for others as well. But it is a choice, and you must choose it.
Right. And then how do we go from it merely being a thought in our head to actually being able to embody it? Because, you know, if we tell ourselves something and it just doesn't feel true, it's going to be very difficult to embody it, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So you're going to start with thoughts that can, that you, that has to be something that you believe could be true, because it can't be phony. It can't be right. But what you could say is, okay, here's the situation as it feels so real to me right now. These are all the thoughts I'm thinking, you know, life's going to hell in a handbag. Okay. What are other thoughts that could exist? Because if we look back in history, I mean, some of the most successful people and leaders of the world didn't come from privilege. They came from dire circumstances. But at some point, they must have held a slightly different thought than most other people. And that thought led them to take different actions and see different possibilities. And those actions led to different outcomes for them. So we might say, I don't yet know if it's possible for me. But maybe, let me just hold it as an open door, maybe. What if I choose, you know, if it's possible for other people, maybe it's possible for me too. I don't know yet, but I'm about to find out and I'm willing to explore. And maybe that's as far as you can get. But you might replace one thought of like, yeah, things seem pretty bad right now, but hey, I've been in challenging times before. Or there is this one thing that is going well. Or, you know, what's happened today doesn't have to be my future. And I'm willing just to explore one other thought that, hey, what if I just believe that maybe that one thing out there that I want is possible for me? Like by the end of 2026, instead of working, you know, two or three jobs, maybe I could consolidate it down to one, because that sure would feel better. Or, you know, what's one thing that would make you, you know, one goal that you have, and what's one thought that would help you continue down that path? So in it, you know, it's like, it's the mental game of playing with ourselves and watching where the mind will shut the door on us. And I do it continuously. I mean, I do this for a living, and I will have sort of a bad feeling of like, I've got that really stressful meeting coming up. And then I'll go, that's interesting. Look what I just said to myself about that meeting. Why is it stressful? Could it not be enjoyable? Could it not be an opportunity to do what I came here to do?
And
I
what
actually
you
have to, yeah.
And what you're talking about is a topic I love, which is paying attention to your language. Because what we say really is the key to how we're feeling. Because sometimes we don't even know how we feel. But if we listen to the words we use, then we know what's the underlying feeling, right?
Yes. Yes. And I have this, sometimes I'll just feel bad, and I'll go, it's interesting. I just notice myself feeling bad. And then I'll go, what have I been thinking? And if I try to trace back the thought, it usually feels in time, and I have no way of really knowing, but about half an hour previous, I thought something. It was a glance in the mirror. I was like, oh man, I'm getting old, or, you know, haven't taken care of myself, or it will be, God, that email really made me feel bad. You know, that work thing I should have handled better. And I'll, as soon as I can trace the thought and shine the light on the thought, the bad feeling goes away. So I think, you know, thoughts influence feelings, feelings influence thought. It doesn't matter which came first. But we can work with those two things. What have I been thinking? How am I feeling? How do I want to feel? And what thoughts would have me want to do what I know is needed to accomplish things that are important, whether that's care for my family, handle this important business negotiation, whatever it might be.
Wonderful. Okay, it's time for us to take our last break. When we come back, there are a couple of pieces from the book I'd like to discuss, such as the power of I and surrendering, like vulnerability and surrender. Since we started with vulnerability, let's end with vulnerability, okay?
Yeah.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Suzanne Biro, author of the book, This Could Be Everything. And we will be right back to wrap it all up in just a moment.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Suzanne, what role does surrender have to do in all of this?
It's interesting. I know there's the word surrender that's often used. I use a slightly different word, but I think it means the same thing because the words are so rudimentary to describe experience. But I think there is something about acceptance. Like, can we just accept ourselves? And can we accept
what is the hardest part of accepting ourselves?
Well, I'll tell you what it is for me, and this lends us to the I, you know, the I using I. Like, let me talk from my own experience, because that's the only thing I can really own is my own experience. But what I have learned over 24 years is my experiences tends to be, you know, I'm a perfect specimen of the human race, as are you. So if I study myself, I know other people. So tell me your question again.
What's the hardest part of accepting ourselves?
Okay, thank you. Hardest part for me to accept myself is that I feel so ordinary. I had so hoped to be someone really cool in the world. And I feel, you know, and the truth is I'm kind of an ordinary human being, you know, and that, I think that's been the hardest piece for me is there's so many times where I see myself not being all that I teach. And that feels embarrassing and shameful. And it's like, great, I can't even live this stuff. What, you know, who the hell do I think I am to teach it? You know, that whole narrative comes in. I think the hardest part is that just, we're all just kind of ordinary, average human beings, but all so beautiful and unique. We're just
like every snowflake, right?
Yeah. So it just, there's so many times where it's like, gosh, I had so hoped to be someone, you know, just cooler than I know myself to be.
I don't know. I think you're pretty cool.
Well, I think that's the beautiful thing. I think that's why we have each other. Because for another person, like when we look out, that we admire people immensely. I think, wow, look at that artist's work. Or, you know, look at Sam and his incredible, I mean, for me, you're a poet. As I listened to you read your blog post, I was like, there is a true poet in the world. And so we shine brightly for other people. And we're and they reflect that back to us. But we can't get that, you know, from ourselves. And I think that's why we need each other. But to ourselves, we're kind of like, you know, I mean, come on, like, we know our own, I mean, we live with ourselves. So we see our own habits. We see times where we could have been more gracious and we weren't. You know, times where it's like I could have been more generous and I wasn't. And so I think being myself just feels kind of like, oh, a bit of a letdown, really. You know, but it's like, oh, wow, what am I going to do? This is literally, this is, I'm only who I am. And so now at some point I've just come to go, okay, maybe mediocre is okay. And that kind of has freed me up at least. What is it for you? Because you're knee deep in this journey.
I'm knee deep. I'm like neck deep in this.
Neck
journey.
Deep. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, acceptance is also, it's accepting. I mean, I always say, look, I'm just a nice Jewish boy from the Bronx. You know, I'm okay being quote unquote average, but it's more accepting where my real genius is and admitting to myself the certain aspects that actually are special, the alchemical side of myself, the facilitator side of myself, facilitating conversations as well as healing ceremonies and other things. You know, my wife and I often talk about our differences and how much we complement each other, because she's a very much one-on-one kind of person. Like, she can go really deep with one person in front of her. With a group, it's too much for her. For me, I'm not as good going really deep with one person, but give me a group and I can facilitate that group energy, bring people together, do all kinds of things in group that are really awesome. And so just me being able to acknowledge that side of myself has been a journey.
And so is it accepting like your gifts, that you are special?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's absolutely a beautiful piece.
And it's not just knowing it, it's feeling it. You know, sometimes I feel we get a little bit too much in mind. I always use the framework of heart, body, mind, and spirit. They're all equally important. In this society, Western society, we very much focus on mind, sometimes to the detriment of the other three aspects. But I've come to learn to appreciate heart and body as well as mind and spirit. Mind and spirit is relatively easy for most Westerners. Heart and body, like embodying stuff and really feeling it, that's a little more challenging, I find, for most people here.
Yeah.
So we've just got a couple of minutes left. I did want to leave on a note to really support our audience and our listeners like Patty. The external world right now, there is so much chaos, so much uncertainty. Everything from climate change to international relations, potential wars, violence, like polarization of society. There's so much going on out there that can cause people to feel hopeless, helpless, you know, fearful because they don't know which direction to turn. What can we share with our audience to help them to face all of this with, as you said, not a Pollyanna, but a more empowered approach to life?
Yeah. Well, first things first, what you just described, and I don't want to downplay some of the reality of it, but it is a story. Mm-hmm. You know, the world is more chaotic and, you know, overwhelming than it is ever before. There'd be, you know, the work of Yuval Harari, I believe, in Sapiens, the world's never been better in many ways. So it's which story are we, you know, we living into? We certainly are in a time of incredible transition and change, and the speed of tech change is unprecedented, sure. But what world are you going to live in? You can only focus on so much internally. And I think that you just led everyone into a beautiful place. If we look at just saying, let's just focus on acceptance, like self-acceptance, meaning what is the one thing that I am really gifted at? And then how can I serve the people that I interact with today and every day thereafter with that gift? There's something I can do here. That's called leadership. And I need to know myself to know what am I really good at. And I'm probably pretty good at one or two key things, and I'm really bad at everything else, and that's great. I don't need to be good at everything. I need to just know what gifts do I bring, and how can I bring those in the circles that I run in and or what I put out into the world, because that does matter, and it really matters now when we look at AI. And what you put out and how you speak, the language you use, what you post, what you choose to share, you are creating the world. And so what world you want to create, and go and do that in your next conversation, whether that's at the grocery store, buying a cup of coffee, be that person that you wish existed in and for the world, and bring your gifts there. And that alone, just do that. That's the only thing that matters. And focus yourself there, because you are creating the world, and you have an important part to play, and you will change how people feel about themselves, and you will give people hope or just simple presence where they might not have gotten that anywhere else. And that matters. And so just do that. That's all that matters. Do that today. Try to do it tomorrow.
It's like leaning into your strengths, right? So much is talked about, like, oh, you got to go into your outside your comfort zone to stretch yourself, which is, you know, that's fine, but it's much easier to lean into your strengths. And when you actually recognize and lean into your strengths, you have a lot to give to the world.
Beautiful. And just know that what you do and how you do it matters. Like we're so much more powerful, each of us, than we recognize. And if we use that power well,
Which is the subtitle of my book, Everyday Awakening, You Are More Powerful Than You Know.
There you go. There you go.
And what a great place to end. Suzanne, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. If my audience wants to learn more about you, reach out to you, what's your website? Where can they find you? How can people reach out to you?
Yeah, best place is my website, suzannebiro.com.
Okay. SUSANNEBIRO.com. Suzanne, thank you so much. A pleasure.
Sam, such an honor, really. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners like Patty, who tune in each week. Without you, there is no show. And don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and all over social media, on our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, our LinkedIn page, our X page. Wherever you consume social media, you'll find us. Take care, everyone, and listen, next week, it's the last show of the year. As usual, we always close down the station for the last 2 weeks of the year to take a break. So next week, tune in for our last show of the year. We may have a mystery guest, we may not. I'm going to tease it there. You're going to have to tune in to find out. Take care, everyone. We will talk to you all next week.